was a plan. We had many plans that got changed. And one of those plans that got changed was I was in Chicago temple. We were discussing a wonderful pastime of Krishna, the Govardhan Lila. And there was a plan or an idea to continue that discussion, the verses. But then, considering the upcoming appearance of Lord Ramachandra, Ram Nomi, on Thursday, I thought to change the plan. And the plan is now discussing Canto 5, Chapter 19, the first 9 verses, slowly in the morning classes. Hanuman's prayers to Lord Ramachandra. How does someone come to know another someone? By intimacy of love, they come to know someone in ways that other people don't know that someone because of their close association and loving service. So we can say easily, Valmiki, Shukadeva Goswami, and Hanuman. And I wouldn't want to say this one gets a 10 and that one gets a 9 or something. They understand Lord Ramachandra, so Hanuman is a wonderful person to hear from, to understand about Lord Ramachandra. So in honor of Lord Ramachandra's appearance next week, we'll be discussing these verses. A little bit of a background. The verses don't come in the 9th canto, where the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are described, but it comes in the 5th canto. Everybody knows the challenge that the 5th canto presents to us, that is understanding Vedic cosmology. Pretty mysterious, understanding Vedic cosmology. But keeping it really simple, there's a whole chapter in those chapters from the 5th canto that are describing Vedic cosmology. A chapter that describes Jambudvipa. So in Vedic, it's just like a little background. What is Jambudvipa according to 5th canto cosmology? Well, at the very beginning, at the very end of that whole entire cosmology section, Shukadeva Goswami says that this is the Virat Rupa. And if anybody understands the Virat Rupa, please educate me, because it's not easy to understand. But Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the Virat Rupa. And there's different renderings of what is the Virat Rupa, and this is one of them, the 5th canto. And so it's a depiction of something that's beyond our experience. Like, for example, Mount Sumeru. Above Bhumandala, it's 80,000 yojanas. And each yojana is, 10,000 yojanas, which each yojana is 8 miles. So anybody seen a mountain that's 80,000 miles tall and made of gold? And it's an inverted cone in shape. And that mountain extends some number of yojanas below some surface. And that's part of that. So what is it? And so Sumeru is in the middle island of seven islands. And that middle island is Jambudvip. And this chapter, 19, is a description of Jambudvip. It's a description of prayers for the residents of Jambudvip. So the central island of Jambudvip, of the Abhumandala, is Jambudvip, and it has nine varshas. 8 varshas. So, Kim Purusha Varsha, Bharat Varsha is one of the varshas. And it's not exactly the earth planet, but it's not exactly not the earth planet either. Because Bhumandala is flat and the earth is round. Anyway, Bharat Varsha is one of the varshas. Varsha means tract of land. And then north of Bharat Varsha is the Himalaya mountain range, not to be confused with the Himalaya mountain range in the north part of India. Because on the other side of the Himalayan mountains is Kim Purusha Varsha, Bharat Varsha, Himalayas, Himalayan mountain range, and then Kim Purusha Varsha. And Kim Purusha Varsha is where Hanuman resides, and there's a presiding deity in each of the Varshas. In the Bharat Varsha, it's Narayan. In Kim Purusha Varsha, it's Lord Ramachandra. And for the duration of the universe, Lord Ramachandra is there, and Hanuman is there glorifying Lord Ramachandra. Now, in the Earth planet, the terminologies are different. Bhugola, Gola means round. The personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, appears, performs pastimes, and disappears. In Bhumandala, in the Kim Purusha Varsha section of Jambudvip, Lord Ramachandra stays for the duration of the universe, and Hanuman worships him along with others for the duration of the universe. That's the description of Jambudvip. And so the very first verses of chapter 19, prayers of the residents of Jambudvip, it's Hanuman offering prayers to Lord Ramachandra. Not only about Ramachandra, but to Ramachandra. So that's what we're going to be discussing. That's the context of... And he knows Lord Ramachandra. So we can take as conclusive truth whatever he says. It's in the Bhagavatam, and it's coming from Hanuman. So it's like double lock. And Shukadeva Goswami is narrating it, so triple lock.
Small interruption.
So text one, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Kim Purushe Varshe Bhagavantam Adi Purusham Lakshmanan Grajam, and so forth. It's not with meter, it's just text. Translation. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king," he's addressing Maharshi Pariksit, In Kim Purusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana and dear husband of Sita Devi. Now, the BBT publication has no commentary. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. It's very short. The 19th chapter describes the form of Rama in Kim Purusha Varsha and Narayana in Bharata Varsha and the excellence of Bharata Varsha. So now, text 2. Canto 5, chapter 19. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanuman Ji and Arishtasena, the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories. With complete attention, Hanuman chants the following mantras. Purport. In the Puranas, there are two different opinions concerning Lord Ramachandra. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, 5:34-36, this is confirmed in the description of the incarnation of Manu. And here's the Sanskrit. The Vishnu Damodara describes, this is not a word-for-word translation of the Sanskrit above in those verses. It's Prabhupada's simplification of the message. The Vishnu Damodara describes that Lord Ramchandra and his brothers, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, are incarnations of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, respectively. Uh-oh. The Padma Purana, however, says that Lord Ramachandra is an incarnation of Narayana, and that the other three brothers are incarnations of Shesha, Chakra, and Shamka. Contradiction. Therefore, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan has concluded, Tad idam kalpa bheda naiva sambhavyam. He's just adding that's not part of the translation of Lagu Bhagavatamrita. In other words, these opinions are not contradictory. In some millenniums, Lord Ramachandra and his brothers appear as incarnations of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and in other millenniums, they appear as incarnations of Narayana, Shesha, Chakra, and Shankha. The residence of Lord Ramachandra on this planet is Ayodhya. Ayodhya city is still existing in the district, the district of Hyderabad, which is situated on the northern side of Uttar Pradesh. I think that's needs some editing. Hyderabad is not in the northern side of Uttar Pradesh. Prabhupada uses this term millennium, where our acharyas more commonly use the term chaturyugi, chaturyugi, or yuga. So the cycle of four yugas is one millennium. Now, there are other places where Prabhupada uses the term millennium in different ways, but more commonly millennium, when you see millennium, most commonly it's the cycle of four yugas. One millennium equals the cycle of four yugas. So there's different four yuga cycles. And in one yuga cycle, what Vishnu Dhammotara says, and in another yuga cycle, what Padma Purana says are both correct, appropriate for different yugas. So it's not wrong. It's which means, in other terms, the details of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, not only who these personalities that are his brothers are, or even himself, but the pastimes, there may be slight variations. And we find that to be the case, that there are slight variations in the authorized, emphasis on the word authorized, Ramayanas, going to the ninth canto, Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami acknowledges that there are those two categories, authorized and not authorized, and that he, Sukadeva, knows the difference, and he, Sukadeva, will be speaking only from the authorized ones. And we should be also careful about hearing from people that, or reading books that are not the authorized ones, or speaking from them. Because it can get confusing. Even amongst the authorized ones, it can get confusing. Those who are really absorbed in Ramkatha have generated lists of the distinctions between, for example, Valmiki Ramayana and Tulsi Ramayana. Details of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And it's a long list. So we have been trained in ISKCON by our founder Acharya that Valmiki Ramayana is the gold standard. And everything else is measured by the gold standard, like, you know, the Supreme Court. However, other renderings that are authorized and genuine, we can look at them, not like dismiss them, but we can understand from the authorized ones. We discussed this a little bit last night. One Sri Vaishnava Acharya wrote a commentary much later and in Tamil, following Valmiki Ramayana largely, but some differences. But it's accepted as one of the authentic ones. And without going into further detail about it, that's how we are to understand from the authorized ones, whether there's discrepancy, then we want to be very selective, discriminating about what is considered authorized and not. Just repeating the same point. So Rupa Goswami, this Lagu Bhagavatamrita that we're reading the reference to, some of you may have a copy in your home. It's a BBT publication with Rupa Goswami's verses and Rupa Goswami's commentary on his own verses. Something like what Sanatana Goswami did with Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He wrote a commentary on his own book so people could understand properly. And what Lagu Bhagavatamrita is, one way to describe what it is it's just expanding on Canto 1, Chapter 3, the list of incarnations. There's a whole section that just does that. It goes through the verses of 1, 3, and then, you know, through the descriptions of the incarnations of the Lord. and then goes back and does other references and other references. So this reference is in chapter 5 of, it's 1.5.34 through 36. That's how it's listed. And this section specifically is Rupa Goswami's explanation of the position of Lord Ramachandra. It goes back earlier also, and I'll make reference to that shortly. But the very special position of Lord Ramachandra. So we're getting this picture from Rupa Goswami that the abode of Lord Ramachandra, the eternal abode of Lord Ramachandra, is Mahavaikuntha. Now, that's an interesting term. What's the difference between Vaikuntha and Mahavaikuntha? It's something like the distinction between Goloka and Gokula, upper Goloka and worldly Goloka, that kind of distinction. And in one sense, there's no difference. And in another sense, there's a difference. So Mahavaikuntha specifically indicates what we normally refer to as Vaikuntha, the abode of, the eternal abode of Lord Ramachandra is in Ayodhya. Now I'm going to read, this is Padu Swami's translation of these verses from 1.5.34. Well, here's what he says. I read 36, because 34 and 35 are very nicely presented with Baladeva Dibhusan's additional commentary saying there's no contradiction because it's different millenniums. 36 says, the dwelling place of Rama is situated in Madhya Desh in the city of Ayodhya and also in Mahavaikuntha. So the commentary, this is Rupa Goswami's own, it's Baladeva Vidyabhusan's commentary. This describes the abode of these four forms. The word Asya indicates Ram, his brothers, and followers. So Rupa Goswami is saying the dwelling place of Ram and others, his brothers and his devotees, is situated in Madhya Desh. Now, Madhya Desh at that time is what is today's Uttar Pradesh. And why it says in the PBT Hyderabad, I don't know. It's near Lucknow, not Hyderabad. But in any case, Baladeva goes on, though the statement of Ete Changsa Kala, Bhagavatam 1.3.28, shows Ram and Sringa as Angsas of Krishna, by the above statements, the idea that they are Angsas should be dismissed. Baladeva is saying, dismiss Shukadeva Goswami. And it goes back to the earlier section of this chapter. Rupa Goswami identifies in this chapter, verses starting with 16, the Sanskrit is there, but he's describing amongst the forms of Vishnu that appear in this world, because that's what this 1-3 Canto 1, Chapter 3 is doing, avatars of Vishnu. Then it says in 28, Krishna is the avatari, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the avatari, and he's also listed amongst the avatars, but he's the source of all avatars. And all others are, in relation to him, angsas. And so this, what does this term angsa mean? It's a portion. It gets technical, but there's angsa and there's kala. Commonly, the way that Prabhupada would use these terms, drawing from the Bhagavatam, kala, he would translate as a portion of a plenary portion. And a portion of a plenary portion, going to Rupa Goswami's teachings in Nectar Devotion, it doesn't have the fullness of Krishna. Vishnu does not have the fullness of Krishna. So the three Purushas that are listed at the very beginning of Canto 1, Chapter 3, because they're incarnations of Vishnu. So Mahavishnu, Sharadakshaya, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Sharadakshaya Vishnu. Those are the Kala expansions, portions of a plenary portion. And others are given this nomenclature, angsa. Now, angsa means portion, just like a living entity. Angsa is used several places in Bhagavad Gita, but one we're very familiar with is ma me vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. It's my fragmental portion. Now, the living entity, the jiva, is angsa, is used in a specific context. And when it comes to avatars, we're not avatars. But there are avatars that are in this category of angsa, which is what 1.3.28 is saying. But now going back to earlier in this chapter 5, 1.5.16, you can look it up later if you like, the Nagra Bhagavatamrita. The six qualities are fully manifested in Nrsimha, Rama, and Krishna. They are considered paravasta. Paravasta. The relationship between the other two, Nrsimha and Rama, and Krishna is like lamps lit from the lamp of full six powers manifest in Krishna. This is a quote from Padma Purana. Now, the verses that precede that, it's detailed, so don't freak out. It's making a point. There are others that are in the category of angsa, and they exhibit less than the fullness that Krishna exhibits. That, whatever it is, 84% or something. So here's the translation of the earlier verses before 16, same chapter. Some of the different varieties of avatars are prabhava incarnations. Some are vaibhava. Some are paravasta, that's Nrsimha and Rama, or shad aishvarya purna avatars. Here's some examples. So in the Abhesha category, some incarnations in the Abhesha category are in Shaktivish, Kumaras, Narada, Prithu, while Mohini, Danvantri, Hamsa, Vyasa, Datta, and Shukla are some of the Prabhava avatar. So now we have two. Angsa, Prabhava. Now we're going to get Vaibhava. The Vaibhava incarnations display a more superior potency than the Prabhavas. And some of them are Matsya, Kurma, Narayan, Varaha, Haishirsha, Prishnigarbha, Balabhadra, and Yagya. Even more powerful are the Paravasta avatars. And three names, the Sringa, Rama, and Krishna, who each exhibit more power than the others. And then, but Krishna alone is the source of all incarnations, and no other incarnation can supersede him. So all of that is to say, the position of Rama and Sringa are special. So going back to Rupa Goswami's comment and Baladev's commentary on his comment. Rama, although mentioned in 1.3.28, is, along with all the others, as an Angsa, with the above references, we should understand there's a very special position of Rama and Nrsimha. So in the spiritual realm, in this Mahavaikuntha realm, the abode of Rama is at the highest region. You know, you have to think of physical space, but in the spiritual dimension, it's the highest place in the Mahavaikuntha region, which means, and it's because of the intimacy of Rama's lila, his personality. He exhibits intimacies that the other forms of Narayana do not exhibit in Vaikuntha. So it has this special place within the Vaikuntha realm. And similarly, Ayodhya on earth. And the Ayodhya on earth is yet a different place than Kim Purusha Varsha. Kim Purusha Varsha is in this Jambudvipa region. And Hanuman is residing there, and Hanuman is worshipping him. And we're hearing also about the Gandharvas. And the Gandharvas, what do Gandharvas do? They sing. And when the writing is situated, Gandharvas sing about the personality of Godhead for the pleasure of the great devotees. Commonly, Gandharvas sing for the pleasure of the demigods. And just because I've been studying it, I'm just sharing. What Bhuvar and Swargaloka? We know what Bhuloka is, Bhumandala. And we know what Swarga is. But what's this intermediate region, Bhuvarloka? And what's there? We chant Gayatri, we say, but what is it? So there's different regions within that Bhuvarloka, and researchers consistently demonstrated one of the inhabitants of that region is the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, and Apsaras, etc. And Sitas, Siddhaloka. And Vidyadharas, you recall from sixth canto, King Chituketu became the ruler of one of the Vidyadhara planets. And that's in this Bhuvarloka region. So that's just, but they have their function. They have residence also in Kim Purusha Varsha. They're doing what they do. They're singing the glories of the Supreme Lord. And Hanuman is, and Rishtasena, they're hearing. And they're, all the other residents, they're hearing. It's not exactly like bards. Bards is a term that Prabhupada translates with, like, kings would engage bards who would wake the king up in the morning, come in and sing the glories of the king, and that's how he would wake up. And then, so they knew history, and they knew how to use music to present history. But it's not the same, like Love and Kush, for example. They were trained by Valmiki to speak Ramayana, and they're not exactly bards. But Gandharvas are something like that. But they're, when they're properly situated, as they are in Kimpurusha Varsha, they're just glorifying the personality of Godhead. And sometimes the Gandharvas get out of line. I mean, a particular Gandharva will get out of line. Narada describes not only his previous life as the son of a maidservant, but he later describes who he was before he was the son of the maidservant. He was a Gandharva that, you know, became filled with himself. And his singing ability was used to enchant girls. And it was detected, and so he was cursed to take birth in, as a sutra. So he took birth as a sutra. It's not, you know, a very pleasant thing to say about oneself, but that's how it happened. And so Gandharvas, when properly situated, they glorify the Supreme Lord. And they're really skilled at it. So, Hanuman is hearing from them, and he has his own prayers, and then tomorrow morning we'll hear the first of his prayers. And Lord Ramachandra is at the center, obviously, of Hanuman's life. And he reveals some things about Lord Ramachandra that are important, a little mysterious. But it will help us understand some of the confusing parts of Ram's Leela. So that's it. And you see if there's any discussion. I should have mentioned, because this social distancing thing has made life a little complicated, the persons that are seated in the room, please speak up first with ask your questions, so that gives time for the people that are remote to think of what their questions are, and sometimes it helps churn the topic, those that are in the room. So any comments or questions on this? You're on.
I'm still confused. You have explained this. But still confused about, there are eternal pastimes happening in the spiritual world, Ayodhya.
Yes.
And then there is this happening in the Jambudvip area.
Yes.
And there is also happening in Bhumandala.
But not exactly pastimes in Kimpurusha Varsha. He's there as the ruling, the presiding deity. It doesn't say what he does there. So I'm just editing your remark. He performs pastimes on earth that are recorded in the Bhagavatam. What he does in Kimpurusha Varsha, I don't know. He receives the prayers of the Gandharvas and Hanuman. That much we know.
Same thing, I think, in the 18th chapter of 5th canto, Prahlad Maharaj's glorification and prayers to Lord Narasimha, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to understand, as you're explaining, is it that Prahlad and Narasimha, they were there, and at the same time in the spiritual world?
Yeah. How it works, I don't know. But yes. Not only certainly the personality of Godhead can appear in different places. For him, that's not a difficulty. What about jivas appearing in different places? Jiva's going to be for the service of the Lord. Jiva's doesn't say how, but Jiva's can appear in different places.
Simultaneously.
It's a mystery. I mean, a classic. Giriraj Maharaj asking Prabhupada during the morning walk in Juhu along the beach there. Prabhupada, it is said that Krishna, after his pastimes are eternal, and while he's performing pastimes, his appearance pastimes, etc., etc., they're continuing on in some other universe and some other universe. So Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associates, or are there multiple Arjunas taking part in Krishna's pastimes as they unfold? It's not exactly the way he phrased it, but that was the essence of the question, and the answer was yes. How can there be multiple Arjunas? How can a jiva be multiple? Because he's a jiva. Not Shakti Tattva, he's Jiva Tattva. No explanation of how, but in principle, yes. So, and there's other examples, but similarly here.
My question is, you are talking about Ansha and Kala.
Ansha and Kala, yeah. Kala, yeah.
Is it related to incarnation and expansion?
Because it's related to, but it's a detail about that topic.
Okay, because I have some problem with understanding incarnation and expansion. So.
It's technical, but incarnation means descends, and some incarnations may not descend, but they're expansions. And some expansions may also descend, so they're both. It's language. Language refers to something. The expansion is, boop, Krishna expands. And some descend. Some don't.
So Krishna avatar is expansion?
Or which one? Krishna avatar?
Krishna avatar.
In some cases, expansion. In some cases, himself. I'll explain. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, Brajendra Kumar Krishna, he descends once in the day of Brahma. So in every day of Brahma, there's how many cycles of the four yugas? In each day of Brahma, how many cycles of the four yugas? 1,000, right? 1,000. So that leaves 999 other cycles of the four yugas. So that form of Krishna that appears in the 999 other Chaturyugas, Krishna appears as Vasudev Krishna. Form Krishna, Krishna's expansion. And once in the day of Brahma, Krishna himself comes. That is expansion. That's why in Bhagavan Krishna comes and performs pastimes in Braja. Now those pastimes in Braja are not performed in the 999 other, at least not in the way that Krishna performed them as Swayam Bhagavan Krishna.
Another question. In the beginning, you said Bhumandala is flat and Earth is round. Understand that.
The topography of Bhumandala, you know, the flat earth notion? You familiar?
No.
Flat earth?
No.
Cosmology up to the time of, you know, Copernicus and Galileo, they viewed the earth as flat. And the concept of the earth as flat is grounded in Vedic cosmology. and shared by cosmology all over the planet for the longest time. That's flat, the flat earth notion. And then there's earth as a globe. No, the short is the Vedic texts, even specifically the Bhagavatam, largely speaks of Bhumandala, because that's cosmology, but it also speaks of Bhugola. An example. When Mother Jasoda looks inside Krishna's mouth, what does she see? She sees the universal form, but she sees Bhugola. She doesn't see Bhumandala. There was a specific reference. Round. And there's others, right in the Bhagavatam. And there's others outside of the Bhagavatam that are Vedic texts that speak Bhugola, but there's also Bhumandala. So there are two different nomenclatures for what might be considered the same thing. So how do we handle that? Is it flat or is it round? How can be both flat and round? That's a contradiction, isn't it? So the universal form isn't it's imaginary, not in a literal sense, it's imaginary in the sense of everything that's temporary is imaginary, like a dream. Is not real. We accept that dreams aren't real, but when we're experiencing the dream, it seems real. So there's daydream and nightdream, and we put more weight in the daydream than the nightdream, but they're temporary. They're not real in the sense of temporary. I mean, there's more on that topic, but that's for keeping it simple. Temporary. So the universal form, which is fifth canto, Virat Rupa, as Sukadeva Goswami specifically says, I'm going to describe to you the Virat Rupa, and then he described, among other things, Bhumanda, the flat earth. With you know, Sumeru and mountains and varshas and valleys and so forth. You know, that's just Jambudvipa and then so forth and so on. And it's flat. More than round. It's flat. It covers the middle portion, around the middle portion of the universe. There's more to deepen. Okay, so the language could be more specific because the bottom half of the universe is the Garbhodak Ocean, so it's not just exactly half. But in any case, the middle of the planetary systems is flat. Does it exist or does it not exist? Is it fiction or is it real? Not fiction. Bhagavatam doesn't fill us up with fiction. It's a depiction of the Lord's form of the universe that we're not going to be able to see with our present limited consciousness. But now this, those who explain Vedic cosmology describe, those with more elevated consciousness can perceive it. The universal form. Sometimes Krishna would reveal the universal form. It wasn't a hallucination. It says universal form. But now you see it, now you don't. It's temporary. It's the form of the universe. But temporary. Which can be perceived by those who have higher consciousness. We can't perceive it. Anyone seen the Golden Mountain? And so forth. And islands that are circular with oceans in between them? Anyone seen anything like that? So it's got to be just imagination, right? It's a depiction of the universe. The plan of the universe that the personality of Godhead has for providing a place for living entities to try to enjoy. and there's different varshas and different structures to this. Described in the fifth canto. It's not an easy subject, but that's what it is. Flat earth, round earth. Online?
This question is from Veda. She wants to ask, are the varshas, like in Purusha Varsha, situated on the earth, Bhumandala, or on the other planets?
Bhumandala.
And the other question is from Girish Prabhu. Balabhadra, as we know, is an intimate avatar.
Yes.
But he is mentioned in Vaibhava avatar instead of Paravasta.
My understanding is that's a different Balabhadra than Krishna's eternal associate Baladev, or that Balabhadra. It's a different one. That's my understanding. Now, which one is that different one? I don't know. But that's my understanding. Yeah.
I got confused about the Mahavaikuntha. When we say that Lord Rama eternally resides in Mahavaikuntha, in the universal, in the picture that we have from ISKCON, there is Vaikuntha planets and then there is Ayodhya.
Yes, it's part of Vaikuntha. It's the uppermost region of Vaikuntha, just below Goloka.
Amara Mataji is asking, initially in the lecture there was a mention about Lord Ram being incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Many believe this as it is ignoring the fact that Krishna is the source of all incarnations.
Right.
Lord Vishnu is Purusha avatar and Lord Rama is Leela avatar. How to understand these connections?
Say the last part again.
Lord Vishnu is Purusha avatar and Lord Rama is Leela avatar.
Well, Leela avatar is a category of the Purusha avatars. There's six categories and that's one of the categories. So he's not a Purusha avatar. He is a Purusha avatar. He's in a certain category, Leela avatar. And there's other categories that we just discussed. Sad Aishvarya Purna avatar. Paravasta. So, language is to indicate something. And the something that the language is indicating can, you know, this the same object that's being described can have different languages because it's describing different features of that object. So to describe Ram as Purusha, to describe Ram as Leela avatar, to describe Ram as Paravasta, they're not in contradiction. It's just different perspectives on the object, Ram. It's not a contradiction. The question is, which is he? He's all of the above.
One more.
Yeah.
Mohanlila Prabhu is asking, if Lord Narsingadev is equal to the level of Rama and Krishna, but we don't see much of his activity, like childhood pastimes or other types of activities.
Why not?
So are pastimes other than his appearance to protect Prahlad unknown to us?
They're unknown to me. They're not there may be additional explanations that I'm not aware of. And I can do a little research with, from people that are familiar with Nrisingadev's pastimes and see if there's additional references, but I'm not aware of them. In Lagva Bhagavatamrita, it's like really, 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 really detailed. And amongst certain categories, I forget the nomenclature, there's some that the pastimes are very brief, and there's little known about them. Some don't have consorts. Some primarily give teachings. So there's this emphasis, that emphasis. The Lord is free to do whatever he likes, and he does whatever he likes. And so maybe Lord Nrisingadev appears in other circumstances besides protecting Prahlad and so forth and so on. But if he just wants to protect Prahlad, that's just fine. As an avatar. Anything else?
One more question. Universal form, if it is temporary, does it mean that it exists as long as material world is there?
Yes. Then it's withdrawn.
And Lingaraja Prabhu is asking this question, and he is quoting that from 288, purport, it says, Supreme Lord accepts gigantic body to accommodate the universes or planets of a particular universe. So,
he said the languages he accepts, and another way of saying he manifests. Not like putting on a set of clothes. It's his form, and he manifests or accepts, displays that universal form to accommodate living entities, guna and karma, and simultaneously to rectify their whole situation. And that's considered a pastime. It's a pastime incarnation. It's a different kind of pastime incarnation. Not generally you find listed in the avatars, but it's a pastime. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.